Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Bhavani Vacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Askatyane Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaubhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. It's very nice to see all of you in this, under this Kalpa Vriksha tree. May all your spiritual desires become fulfilled. I mean, in the sense of maybe have a very nice meeting where we can get a nice inspiration. Yesterday, Venugopal's mother has died. Venugopal's mother was the first one, I believe, who introduced Venugopal to Krishna consciousness. Almost. Once Venugopal looked at the video where I was explaining something, and Venugopal's mother joined her son, and after some time said a great compliment. I do not know if I deserve it. What a good person, Dobro Osava. What a good person it is. So, because Venugopal's mother has left the body yesterday quite unexpectedly, and she was a Vaishnavi, in our, at least my understanding, Vaishnavas on different levels. She had appreciation for the devotees very much. So I wish that all of you pray for Venugopal's mother, that she may come in a very good situation. So we will just say for 1 minute a little prayer, each one for himself, for Venugopal's mother. I think we all know it is not easy to leave one's body when there are still attachments to this world, and it's quite an intense situation. So I think by your kind prayers, our Mataji, Venugopal's Mataji, mother has been benefited. Yesterday, when I heard about this sudden and it was not so entirely unexpected. But when I heard about this disappearance, I really did not know what I would talk about in this day's meeting. But without maybe wanting it, Venugopal's mother has given me the subject. This is very, very important for us as we go through our lives, that we have a very clear feeling what it is that is of essential importance to us. Now, I must see, you're very far back, Moksha Rupi. Can you understand? Is this loud enough? What is it that I should focus my energy upon? What should I have as standards to find out if my life is successful or not? See, we all have met in the forum of an institution called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and there are definitely a lot of social standards which govern our lives. I can imagine if Draupadi would all of a sudden shave her hair and have no gold any longer. People would ask you, please, it's not a funny thing, it's a philosophical thing. People would ask you, what happened with you? And you would respond to this. You would maybe not feel, hello, entirely happy and so on. Or let us say, we go through our life and we come into a situation where we get severely criticized, then we might think, ooh, something went entirely wrong in my life. Or a standard may be that in our lives we want to have good health, and when we do not have good health, we feel, my life is wasted, I'm on the wrong path in my life. Huh? There are so many standards by which we can measure our lives. Or my life is successful when I have a successful marriage. This is an idea, I feel, which marriage people think. Or my life is successful if I get a maladetsa soon. That may be a measurement, a standard, whereby which we measure our lives. Or my life is successful when I develop meaningful friendships in my life. This may be another standard. Or my life may be successful if I get a lot of admiration from other people, or money, or position. All these standards can very easily appear in a spiritual move, in an institution. And you might orient your life by these standards. Just like a traveler feels, I'm successful in reaching my goal when he sees the signpost, Pula 50 kilometers, Pula 40 kilometers, Pula 30 kilometers, Pula 20 kilometers. A devotee in the ISKCON movement might feel, my life is successful if I have good friends, if I have a good position, if I have a successful marriage, and so on and so forth. It might be that we feel, I'm coming closer to my goal. Or he might see, I'm becoming more peaceful in my life. But I want to raise a very important question. Are these goals which you can attain while being a member of an institution really the goals which you should look for in your spiritual life? Recognition, position, relationships, money, the fulfillment of my plans, are they really the goals whereby which we should orient our lives? The sacred scriptures tell us that for a spiritual person, entirely different standards are important. He should, for instance, measure his life by a question like this: how detached am I from material life? he should see how much attachment do I win or gain of Krishna. How much do I develop love in my heart? How often do I think of Radha and Krishna and their loving pastimes in the spiritual world? We find these are the standards a spiritual person should look for, because at the time which will come for everyone, a time where we lie on our deathbed, like Venugopal's mother yesterday was being in the bed which she did not leave alive. Huh? These material goals, these material treasures and riches are not protecting you. They are meaningless, like clouds which come in the Atriya sky. At the time where your examination comes, your life's examination, these material things like beauty, money, position, friends, relationships and so on are not important at all. What is important for a spiritual person is how much love he has gained during his life, how much love he has gained for Shri Radha and Krishna. Do you follow my thing? And if you look now with this understanding on your life, you will see that it is necessary for you, if you want to make spiritual advancement, to develop the right standards in your life. I would really like to give you an example from my own experience. Some of you who know that I'm in a very bad state of my health these days. I really feel totally dead. And by Krishna's mercy, I've now met this Bali Sadacha, who is giving me a treatment which takes 10 days, and he says after 10 days you will have a new body. And I believe him, because I already feel some life and enthusiasm coming back. Now the way he massages is not at all like ordinary massages. An ordinary massage, you expect, oh, you feel some, you know, some pleasure and some nice feelings. But Bali just takes his thumb, he puts it here, and he says, now kindly breathe out. And he puts his thumb like a knife into here, and at the end his thumb comes out here. And very painful. You feel really like in an operation table. And then he goes here, then he goes here, you know, into your brain with the thumbs, so that the thumbs come out here like knives. And it's really so painful. You feel anything is worse, better. Even I prefer my death at this moment to this to the continuation of this treatment. And what he does is, he goes into the centers of the human body, in Ayurvedic language they're called mama points, and by pressuring them, he gets into your whole system, the meridian system of the body, and he releases stress and disease, because these nerves begin to dance. All of a sudden, and they shake everything out, and you really feel you are getting a new wiring in your body. Your whole electricity is changed. Now I'm using this example to show you, by ordinary standards of massage, I want to lay down and just feel great, horrible, you know, and be pleasing. His massage is the worthless thing which could happen to you in the universe. But by a different standard, which is based on a different education of the human body, that the human body actually has a gross structure, bones, and it has a more important subtle structure, which are energy channels, which when they are blocked give rise to disease. By this education and knowledge and by these standards, his massage is something which you cannot pay with money, because the massage is giving you something which you didn't have before. It gives you health. So someone who changes his perspective in his life, what are the important standards or important goals, he will certainly have a total different approach to life. I want to now bring all this theory to a conclusion, so that those of you who appreciate if something is crystal clearly presented before them can also feel some pleasure in their lives. As spiritual people, I feel it's so important to look for the right goals in our lives. You should not be satisfied with a life where you feel, I'm not really getting attachment to Krishna. You should feel in your life that I want a life where I can have more love for Krishna. I want a life where I am in a Krishna conscious perspective, and I do not want a life where I just waste my time as far as the ultimate things go on. And when you live your life like this, you will live your life in a different way. I want to tell you why I say this very simple point. During the summer camp, I'm looking at many of you. As some of you know, I have a position where no one sees me, but where I see you. And I have seen many things about you, which you would never dare to tell me from my position. I'm sometimes hiding in trees to look down from the trees, or in my room, number 18, where I look down to those who take prasadam. I can hear what they converse, and so on and so forth. I'm unfortunately not like Shukadev Goswami, who can hide in the hearts of everyone and get his knowledge there. I'm not like this. I have to hide in trees and under tables and be there in conversation. And I can see that many of our guests who come here have not really understood why they come into the association of devotees. And I become worried. I also become worried about my disciples, because I feel we have made a therapeutical agreement which some of you are not keeping. Therapeutical agreement is something which I heard from Matsya Avatar. It's a very important word for us. When a person comes to a doctor who is not a moneymaker but an honest person, the doctor will ask him, okay, you have come to me, but tell me very honestly, are you prepared to follow my advices? Are you really prepared to do this? And of course the patient who suffers will say, yes, 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 no problem, no problem. So the honest doctor who is not a moneymaker will say, but it is not so easy. You will have to make physical exercises each day, and you will not like them, because these physical exercises will bring you to the border of pain. You will have to eat not so many cakes with shlagom, and you will not like it. You will have to do other things, like take your medicine on time. And the doctor will say to the patient, I have so many patients which I have to take care of. And I must tell you, our relationship will only make sense if you're willing to follow these instructions. I will give my best in this relationship, but if you don't give your best in following these points, how will I will I help you? It is not possible. It is not possible. Then please go to another doctor. Because you will waste my time and I will waste your time. This is what is a therapeutical agreement. Yesterday I had a very interesting thing. There are always devotees who want to become, who look for a spiritual master and who come to a summer camp. And there was one devotee who came to me. Can you be my spiritual master? And I said, this is not really the question at this moment. My question is to you, can you keep my therapeutical conditions? And I said a few things, you know, like listening to lectures, reading in Prabhupada's books, chanting your rounds before 10 o'clock. Can you do this? Do you wish to do this? Please think about this before. And then the next thing, after 2 hours, I saw that this person who came to me had become accepted by another much more qualified spiritual master than me. I consider, and I was thinking, good, this is fair. I have said my theoretical, I have said it before, and the devotees thought, no, this is, I want to go to another doctor who has another treatment, and I thought it was good that the devotee went to another doctor and understood, well, here I can follow the conditions better. I feel each one of us needs to ask himself or herself the question, do I keep the therapeutical agreement? Because a therapy can only work if these certain agreements are there. There are different therapies. Different therapies means they all work. But if we go to one spiritual master, we must be sure to find out his therapy, his conditions, and we must be sure to follow the advices so that the therapy can work on us and we can actually make advancement and become spiritually happy and empowered people. This is something I feel is very important. You all look at me, and I have noted that I have captured your imagination at this stage. Was a point, and you are now thinking about this point. There's very much desired that you think about these spiritual points. Now I want to say some, after making this very strong point, I want to make a point which you can feel a little bit... I want to give an illustration. Say, for instance, I say to Bali, in the midst of the treatment, Bali, this is too painful for me. I wanted some pleasure on my skin, not knives through my body. You know, I quit. I stop. This is too much. I will... But please continue your massage, but in a friendlier way, you know. My skin is also... and please give me the right when I'm not satisfied with you, I will just go into the bathroom and lock the door and not come out any longer, and as long as you are in the building, you know. How will he be able to help me? If I start making conditions and dictate him, he will say, I only know this treatment. Maybe you should take some Ayurvedic pills. Maybe this that does help you. And there are other treatments as well. So I really feel in our disciple guru relationship, we must become aware of what is the treatment of our spiritual master, and we must like it. Now I want to give you an encouragement. My treatment is not different from Prabhupada's treatments. Only the person is different, and I'm certainly not as qualified as Srila Prabhupada. The treatment is a treatment which works only when a devotee is prepared to surrender his own desires and his own plan and does something for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. This is at the essence of the treatment. The treatment works if a devotee spends time with the holy name, and the treatment works if a devotee also listens to the wonderful mind-enchanting pastimes of Lord Krishna. This very important treatment also, very important part of the treatment. And when you follow this simple guidelines in the treatment and other things also, you will see wonderful results. I must really tell you that I have made a solid research work of Gaudiya philosophy, and I'm so satisfied by Srila Prabhupada's honest and realistic presentation of Krishna consciousness, and I feel just wonderful. I feel in my life really wonderful changes and very happy. I really can say it works, but it is for people who are serious in spiritual life. In America, I had a very, very, very deep experience. You know, I went into the shop and saw a CD with a sticker, the American Master of Mantra Yoga Chanting, and I heard the music. It was one man called Krishna Das, who has also made a recording with the famous Polish musician Sting. Amazing grace, how the lila, li 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 li, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like this. It's a melody from it's a slave song actually, and it has been Christianized, the slave song, and then made into something, a new age melody, and I felt a little why is he the American master of mantra yoga chanting and not a Hare Krishna devotee? And I wanted to find out, and I met him. He's a very nice man, but a Mayavadi, and visited his concerts and spoke to him. And he said to me something very... I asked him, when you are chanting, please tell me, where do you put your mind? Where do you focus the mind? That's a very good question. May I think about it for a moment? Then he... And he said, you know, for us, we place everything in our guru. I just meditate about him. and that I don't want to be in the way of his mercy. So the conditioned souls. And then I think, and I must tell you, I have nothing to do with my singing. And then he looked at me and said, see, in your sadhana, you place everything on Guru and Krishna. And because I'm chanting so much, I also become infected by this mantra, and I also have started to believe in Krishna. And I must tell you, by the power of this mantra, which makes me a different person than a Mayavadi, I'm getting converted. I begin to understand that I'm not doing anything. He says, I'm a terrible harmonium player. And my voice is really nothing special. It's only very deep, like an ox. This is how he said, very humbly. But I guess Krishna has his humor. He can play flute through a lead pipe. Lead? What means lead is a metal, huh? Yeah. How do we say, Goran? Yeah. Krishna can play flute through a lead pipe. And he said, I'm no longer in anxiety. I just sit down and try to not get in the way. What he said is, I was thinking, were you at my seminar, Sharanagati? Because that's what I want to say to my... And he said, one day I will come. I just need to chant a little bit more. We had a very nice relationship, and we keep on emailing each other, and he's on my conversion list. But I thought, after I have talked with him, that this person talks like a Hare Krishna devotee should talk. I have given up my own plans, my own desires. I'm just an instrument. I want to be a servant of Lord Krishna. My dear devotees, as soon as you begin to understand this, your life will change and you will actually become happy. But as long as you just do not want to surrender to Krishna, the life is what your mind makes out of it. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good, sometimes in the middle. But it is not spiritual life, it is material life. So please look in your lives for the right things. Please know this process is a process which works in thousands of years. And please watch out to keep the therapeutical agreement between us. I really feel this is very, very important. For instance, when I see my disciples are not at the lectures, I know they are not keeping the therapeutical agreement. When I see they are not interested to come, they are not... you know, so many things. When I see they are not reading, they are not chanting their rounds properly, they don't give proper time to them, I know they are not keeping the therapeutical agreement, and I feel very sad. I feel sad because they will come to me in the darshans and say, it doesn't work. I don't experience love of Krishna. I feel I'm not happy in my spiritual life. And then if I tell a disciple who doesn't keep his therapeutical agreement, yes, because you don't keep your therapeutical agreement, he will become my enemy. So I try to say other things. Yes, maybe here, maybe there, maybe this is where you should look. Find a nice job, you situate yourself. Maybe you should get a child and such things. They also do help, these relative instructions. But the real thing which helps is the therapy, which is given by the Guru Sampradaya, by the, how do we say, by our line of disciplic succession, and which may sometimes be a little bit difficult, but which always works. So I want to all encourage you to look in your drawers and look in your hearts for our contract. There was a time when we made the contact, remember, when you were enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness and you approached me and I said, we should do this, and you said, yes, I'm doing it, and how you did it, and you felt so blissful and so on, and you felt a great hope and a great thing. Look for this contract, look at it again, make it work for you, this contact. It's not always easy, because our life does change. Sometimes, when we are older devotees, new emphases are necessary. What is emphasis? Schwerpunkt. Nagost. Yeah, this word. It may also be that, or for sure it is necessary for a disciple who makes advancement to get more information how to approach Radha and Krishna, thinking of them. There may be there are different needs which come up when we make spiritual advancement. Fine-tuning is necessary. I think it's important to raise a question when we make spiritual advancement. What do I need as I progress through the different levels and meet the different obstacles in my life? This is an important question. We are not always the same, and the circumstances are also not always the same. But this doesn't mean that the therapeutical agreement should be broken. Hare Krishna. So Hari Bol, I have now said something. I hope it was something important for you. Please know we only meet once a year in this forum, that is the Pula camp, or now it's the Rieka camp, in this forum. And I'm always trying to say something which may be of importance for you. This was something a little bit intense for thinking. I would like to finish what I say with a very nice observation in my life. At this moment, I'm having a new research project. I have actually three private research projects, and one is a research project which I make also a public research project. My private research projects are books by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where instructions are given how to advance spiritually. It's in one work of Sanatan Goswami, which I'm very much relishing and learning from. And my other project is the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's called The Qualities of Lord Krishna. I've noted that whenever I think of Krishna, I'm happy, and when I don't think of Krishna, I'm unhappy. This is what I've noted in my spiritual life. Now, to think of Krishna, I would like to think of the things which are actually there in Krishna, and therefore I'm studying the 64 qualities of Lord Krishna, and looking in our different scriptures, for illustrations which illustrate Krishna's gratefulness, for instance. I have discovered that Krishna has three types of qualities. One is his mind, how he thinks. The second is how he speaks. His words have certain qualities. And the third are his activities. Now Krishna has these three qualities. And I've noted in my spiritual life, I'm very much interested how Krishna thinks inside. I find out that here I am really like I'm also interested when I meet a person. I'm not so interested how he is dressed and what is his position in life, but I'm so interested what he thinks. And I have to sometimes control my inquisitiveness, because it's shameless to if a person doesn't tell you. It's not your business to find out what he thinks by drilling holes into him and then looking through the holes into his mind. You need to be invited to do that. But really, in my life, I only care about this, to be very honest with people. How do they think? How do they work inside? So when I read the qualities of Lord Krishna, it's very interesting. There are 64 qualities, and maybe one third of it is how Krishna thinks. And I'm not doing the qualities one by one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but I'm doing the qualities that interest me. And I have, for instance, said Krishna is grateful. This quality I've researched. Krishna is very vilasti, compassionate. And I found out that Krishna is interested only in the love of his devotees. I found out after I worked on it for a few weeks that all my qualities I'm interested in is how Krishna thinks inside. And I noted when I was doing this research work that it is very nice to find out more about Krishna. One becomes very, very happy to really engage his mind directly with Lord Krishna. Sanatana Goswami says that if you think about the qualities of Krishna, these qualities are like a tirtha, a place of pilgrimage where you get purified. So just by thinking about Krishna's qualities, I have noticed I'm getting so much happy and detached from the world, and so much think so much Krishna is present in my life. I want to recommend to you to start thinking a little bit about Krishna, not your grandmama Krishna. That means your own stories about Krishna, the way the great Goswamis think about Krishna, the way Bhaktivinoda Thakur thinks of Krishna. And you will enter a wonderful theater in your life where Krishna becomes much more present in your life. This is a recommendation which I wanted to share with you. I really feel about this heart which Gaura Shiromani has made. There is this God-shaped hole in the heart. And unless and until we learn to put Krishna in that place, in this vacuum, our lives will not become happy. It just will not work. Please believe me, I'm much older than you. Almost 50, I'm almost dead. At least when I was a young man, at 50 years, I thought, no. Die when you are 45 in grace before old age captures you. Die when you still have some energy, not as an old man. So this was when I was a kami. It's not so. Now I really enjoy becoming older and a little bit more peaceful in the mind. But I see, looking back at my life, I did so many mistakes in my life just by not becoming aware of this point. To think personally of Krishna. This movement is only about this, thinking of Krishna. We are here for nothing else than thinking of Krishna. Our life is extremely simple. We have to learn to think of Krishna as much as possible. How he walks on the side of the Yamuna, how he plays his flute, how the inhabitants of Vrindavan respond. The trees begin to shake and use their branches to make an arati to Lord Krishna. The birds stop flying in the air and become immobile. They don't fall. Why? They don't fall. It's only because it's Vrindavan. You know, Nanda Maharaj says about Krishna, I don't believe that he is God. God should be a little self-controlled, but Krishna needs to eat every 24 minutes, otherwise he cries. Every danda he needs to eat. This is too much. He's not good. We should enter the world of Krishna while in this life. This is a spiritual process, because remember, what you think of, that is what you are. When you think of happy things, you are happy. When you think of depressive things, you are depressive. This is so simple. The whole material civilization doesn't know this. If you think of Krishna, you are in Krishna consciousness. If you forget him, you suffer like a dog, even in dhoti and zari. Yes. It's a very simple point. Spiritual life, if it's real spiritual life, is simple. It goes to the essence. What you think of, that is what you are. Hare Krishna. Okay, my dear devotees, I hope I had said something meaningful to all of you. I first wanted to talk about the right standards in one's life. That's why I have used the help of Venugopal's glorious mother. What was her name? Raditsa? Zoritsa, Zoritsa. Oh, Zoritsa? Yes? I think one of my disciples was called Zoritsa, but I don't remember who that was. And, yeah. Maybe I remember. Where are you called? But you are living. Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, this is a good reminder. Death came so close, it came right into our little group by taking away Mataji Zoritsa from our midst. She was a very good person. And just a day before her departure, or 2 days before her departure, I ate her olive oil with great happiness, remembering her. You remember? We ate the olive oil of Zoritsa with great happiness. Then I wanted to make a point about therapeutical agreement, that it's very important to keep one side of the agreement. The last point I wanted to make is, please have your Krishna projects. You are Hare Krishna people. You should have Krishna in your mind, and you should have your Krishna projects. Some of them, it's very good to have private Krishna projects, which one does not share with the world, and others, when you preach, it's nice if you can help other devotees. So now I want to make a pause. I want to see if you have any questions. Not pause, not in the sense that we stop talking, but I will see if you do have any questions which are relevant. Dopadi?
About one very good point. if you have some bad qualities or some, if you make some mistakes in spiritual life, that you should not meditate so much about that.
Yeah.
But if you think so much, then this somehow come always fast. Now I know that you should not think, because I know how much I have bad things. Then where is the border?
Overcome.
And if I think too much, then I again attract such things. How I should know where is the border between these two?
Yeah, very good question. Let me repeat the question again for you. You said at the seminar that by meditating about your bad qualities, you empower them and make them bigger. But at the same time, I have bad qualities and I feel I need to overcome them. So where is the balance? The balance is very much found in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's approach. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a very interesting approach, which has two things simultaneously. Becoming aware of your bad qualities and turning to Krishna for help, or to Balaram for help. We had Balaram's appearance day, and there was, we heard about the demon Pralambasura. Pralambasura represents hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means you. What is the word in Croatian, please? Yes. You know, you are this, but you want to show yourself as that. It was like this. When Krishna and Balaram played in the forests of Vrindavan, there was one little cowherd boy who on one day could not come to play. He was held back in the house. He had to do some duties, maybe help the mother and father repair the roof or some duties, household duties. So Pralambasura, he knew that Krishna and Balaram were very heavy. They had destroyed many demons. And he needed to separate Balaram from Krishna and kill Balaram first, alone, and then he would kill Krishna, alone. So he thought, how am I going to do this? And when he saw that this cowherd boy was there repairing the roof or doing something, he got the idea. He took the form of that little cowherd boy. The cowherd boys are jumping. And he came like this, you know, and came to Krishna. They all went into the forest, and Pralambasura said, "No one knows who I am." And he did just like the cowherd boys, stole the lunch packet and ate it, and then the other cowherd boys said, "When you stole my lunch packet?" "No, no, no." And he gave it to some others. "My hands are nishta. Nothing is here." So he did everything. And he did quite well. No one of the cowherd boys noticed anything except for Krishna. So then came the time they did some games, and the loser's side had to carry the winner's side. So Pralambasura had been on the side of Krishna, and Krishna was defeated by Balaram's side. So Balaram's cowherd boys were allowed to climb on the shoulders of Krishna's cowherd boys. So Lord Balaram himself, he went on the shoulders of Pralambasura. Pralambasura said, "This is better than I expected. Now I have him." And he began to run. First with all the cowherd boys, and then, but then he ran into the forest where no one was, because he wanted to kill Balaram in the solitude, like maybe a gangster takes a little child and brings the child with a car into a lonely spot in the forest and then does harm to the child. So Perlambasura, after he was in security, he got higher. He became big in size, almost to the clouds. Balaram, who was sitting on this, he said, "What is this? He's running so fast away. We should play there. Now he's so big." But Lord Balaram, it says, was enjoying the occasion and the ride. Especially he liked that he could now have a nice aerial view of his beloved Vrindavan. Because there's a Yamuna, Govardhan, how wonderful. Everything is visible from high up. But then he also noticed, well, this is not a coward boy, it's a demon. And Balaram then was displaying his beauty and killing that demon. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, a devotee who feels he has something to do with hypocrisy should become aware of hypocrisy, which is represented by Pralambasura. It takes a shape. Oh, I'm very a good devotee.
Very good.
Yeah, some Vaishnava. But it's not really like, it's only a make-believe or show. And he should then pray to Lord Balaram, please help me overcome it. In other words, the devotee briefly looks at his anattas so that he knows where he is at. And then after doing this, he looks at Krishna, or in this case, Balaram. The two demons which are killed by Balaram, Paralambasura, hypocrisy and lust, and also Denukasura, who represents mundane knowledge and a mundane perspective. They are killed by Balaram, the Guru Tattva. The Guru will tell you, oh, you are doing like this, but you're saying like this, but you're doing this, so maybe you should be more authentic and bring the two sides together. Yes. Do you understand? Both must be there, but the emphasis. What is emphasis? Yeah, must be on Krishna or Balaram. When we, this is opposed to what most of us do, we start to lament, oh, my bad qualities, my bad qualities, my bad qualities. And there is no Krishna really. Or very distant, very far. Because we are not Krishna-centered, but self-centered. So, both must be there, Draupadi, an honest recognition of our, of the areas where we still need to work, and at the same time, full concentration on Krishna. Yeah.
When you told this example of Krishna Das, the Master Master, I thought of one Gaudiya for quite some time. On one side, you hear that Bhakti is not dependent on any material practices like dirt or different things, but just our desire is the quality that we can see Krishna. On the other side, like this example of this Krishna Das shows, he definitely has been a yogi for many lives when he lived in America and has such a strong determination. I just want to be the representative of Guru. I mean, it doesn't come just from one birth. So how can we really get a faith in ourselves that, I mean, we without these qualifications, how can we get this determination? Yes, I want to fill this contract. I'm able to do it, although I'm not actually ready for that from my samskara, from my birth, because we have such a
motion. This is a very good question. Have you all understood the question? Gaura Shiromani says there is a, on one hand we hear that bhakti is not dependent on qualifications, but on the other hand, we see that a person like this Krishna Das, who has this who must be a yogi from different lives, because he has somehow understood a point. I just want to be the representative of my guru and be an instrument. That's a high level. It seems that we also require a high level of ability to be good disciples and fulfill our agreement. It seems we need to almost be yogis from previous lives to do it. I personally want to tell you my own understanding of a very important point on bhakti. This will be a little... I can express it. The way I understand bhakti is it lies in sincerely trying the best what you can give at the present moment. It doesn't lie in a perfection. See, in the material world, we need to always have some type of perfection. For instance, when we are in a driver's school, we need to be able to park our car backwards, which is a major challenge for a driver, isn't it? You have to turn the wheel in the opposite direction to go, and I could never imagine doing this. And if you don't pass the test by doing, for instance, this and other acrobatic feats with the car, then you have fallen through the test. In bhakti is not like this. There is really no falling away from bhakti due to not being able to give the perfection. Krishna himself says this in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, my devotees may be still engaged in the most abominable activities. But because my devotee is properly situated on the right path, like he tries to serve as good as possible, he must be considered a saint. So this point is so difficult for Arjuna to accept, that he, in the beginning, rebels against Lord Krishna. He said, what will the people think when they hear this? Krishna is very determined. He says, they will worship you when you tell this to them. Because, see, we have to get rid of this Western understanding of bhakti, that only the... you know, the perfection for lies if you try your level best. That is always good enough, because Krishna will take your hands. Krishna has very unusual devotees. Like Hanuman, when someone, you know, when he was captured and the people blasphemed the generals who captured him, said something about Lord Rama. Do you know what he did? He urinated in their mouths. This is not very cultured. To urinate in someone's mouth, you know, if you think about what it implies, you know, you think that this is not for cultured people. Later, Ram said to him, Hanuman, did you have to do this? They are generals. They are also kshatriyas. We should be a little bit higher standard, please. Hanuman said, what can I do? I'm a monkey. Everyone can serve Lord Krishna. You may serve Lord Krishna in the Gaurashi Romani style. We have the Jayadev Factor style, which is quite extraordinary, but it's wonderful service to Krishna. We have the Virachandra careful scholarly style. We have the Gadadha style, Mr. Spontaneous. And we have the Shai Mandikini style. There's so many styles, and Krishna accepts them all in the same way. So We sometimes. I remember once Jayadev was. Jayadev, you don't mind? Jayadev has given me his permission. Once Jayadev came to me in Berlin, he was so absolutely happy to see me. He just came with a hand and shook my hand with great appreciation. And I felt a little bit, because it's a little unusual. We usually pay our obeisances. But I felt genuinely happy. I shook also his hand with great appreciation because I knew it was affection, an expression of affection. And I remembered how even Krishna shook the hand of Lord Brahma. Do you know? It is a very, very wonderful greeting. And it's the affection that counts.
10 years ago, more than 10 years.
But the Jayadev factor is certainly capable of great surprises.
So what if we try our
best? Smartly, it's good.
So what if we try our best to fulfill our treatment concept, but due to our weakness we fail to do it? What if we are so weak?
No problem. There is this one very interesting. If we give our best, we will be on the road of progress. If we don't do it out of bad motivation, but we are weak, no problem. There is this one thing which is really amazing. There was this one disciple of Prabhupada in Calcutta who started to take marijuana again. He took marijuana and Prabhupada was heard about this from his secretary and told the secretary, tell him if he continues taking marijuana, I will reject him. Gautama Krishna Maharaj told this devotee. But then he had a doubt and he came back to Prabhupada and said, will you really reject him? And Prabhupada said, of course not. So it doesn't mean you should all take marijuana now. I think that is, you understand that this is not the proper conclusion. It means keep on trying. And we all know that if we even try a little bit, Krishna is very merciful. We all know this. They are the smallest things. When you go one morning before the deities and pray to the deities, and you immediately feel something is coming back. Krishna is amazing. Because Krishna is in a position where he cannot be disturbed. The guru can, I don't think, at least when I speak of me, I'm not like, I can, unfortunately I can be disturbed quite. I mean, the things are just too much. I just don't believe it any longer. But anyways. I want to make very sure, because once when I said things like this, it was printed in the internet, I was quoted, and then so many people came and said, you're encouraging your disciples to be sinful. I hope this is clear that this is not at all the message which I'm giving. I'm saying we have a merciful God. This is all. Of course, we should by all means avoid smoking marijuana and, I think no one should interpret this presentation to mean like this. You will see there is something very wonderful in Krishna. There's a natural law. the degree in which you endeavor, that degree Krishna comes towards you. Yeya tamang prapadyante tanstataiva bhajamyaham. Thank you very much. Very, very nice service. No, I'm just looking very, very important. Thank you. So, Hare Krishna. Gangamai.
I have a question. It might be connected to Gaura Shiromani's question, but it is actually after this presentation you gave in Dole, where you were speaking about the great big gap between our expectations, our own goals which mm-hmm. we have in spiritual life, and our actual own condition, and how we should overcome this gap by filling it with Krishna. I was discussing this with a couple of devotees, and we have come to the conclusion that some of the devotees do, they just make their expectations in spiritual life less. They just they don't have such standards. They and then they're happy again, because we have seen that devotees, they feel very much distressed and just not satisfied with themselves, and then they just, after some time, they give up. They say, I cannot do it, and I will not chant 16 rounds, I will chant 8 rounds, and I will be a normal person again.
Mm-hmm.
So, my question is, how dangerous is it? How can we help such devotees? And how it could be set into connection with the contract that we have made with our spiritual master?
Mm-hmm. Have you understood what Gangamayi has said? Now, I made the same point in my seminar. Rudy, may I have, kann ich deine Papier haben? I made a point in the seminar with a graph that the ordinary person has a certain standard, yes? Let us say here, and his expectations are a little bit like this. So when he lives his life with slightly higher expectations than his standards and meet the devotees, all of a sudden his life goes up. So many amazing things happen in his life, and his expectations are just somewhere here. It's better than he expected it. Don't we know this when we come to Krishna consciousness? We are so enlivened. That's why I like very much preaching, because you meet all these people who are so enlivened.